With me to the book of Isaiah. Flip on back to the book of Haggai. And then flip a few pages to the book of Zechariah. Isaiah chapter 52. Haggai chapter 2. And Zechariah chapter 8. In the first passage of Scripture, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is speaking to the children of Israel. And we could once again take it as a shadow or as a type of the church. And he's trying to rouse the church or the people of Israel with God's promises. In the book of Haggai, It is a call to the children of Israel in the restoration of the temple, the work of rebuilding. And he can encourage his people to work. In the book of Zechariah, the challenge is the building of the city. Again, we can very easily look at it as the work of the church. Jerusalem's restoration. I want to read just little bits here. I'm not going to read a full verse out of Isaiah, but I want to compare these three just for a moment and then give us some food for thought. Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 1. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. Over in the book of Haggai, chapter 2. Again, he's encouraging the people to work, trying to restore the glory of the temple. Verse number 3, he said, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua." Going over to Zechariah chapter 8. Verse number 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. Let your hands be strong. All three of these passages bring about that reference of strength. It's always been, but because it's our generation in which we live and what we see and we feel around us, we are living in a day when the enemy has a target on the church. And he wants to destroy the church. And in his attempt to destroy the church, what he is doing is doing his best to destroy churches. You understand what I'm saying here, right? The church as a whole is a big target for him. But in doing so, he's picking on churches, so that churches are not able to build the kingdom of God as they are intended to do. And because of that, just like in Isaiah and Haggai and in Zechariah, the challenge is there because of the opposition God is challenging them and encouraging them to build and maintain their strength in order to do the work that God wants them to do. There's no difference in the day in which we live. We need to maintain strength. We need to build our strength. You've seen the illustration, or at least you've heard the illustration, that we need to maintain a continuity among us, and the closer we stay together, the stronger we can become. Somebody said to me this week that it's easier to hit the 200 mark in your attendance at church than what it is to hit the 100 mark. Those that have taken churches from little bitty all the way up into the couple hundreds, they seem to agree that it's easier to hit the 200 mark than what it is to hit the 100. And they say that it's because of the momentum and the strength that is involved with more numbers, more people involved, more people a participant. We need to have a strong church in the day that we are struggling in. In the day that the enemy is fighting us, we need to have a strong church in order for us to be able to vanquish the enemy's plans. I want to give you six things tonight that I have not come up with. But several years ago, a preacher friend of mine passed away, and I was the recipient of his little library, and in that library I found an old book of sermons, and this particular list of six things, how to make a church strong, was in that particular book. So if you want to take issue with what these items might be, you're taking issue with somebody who has I'm sure is much smarter than I, and much more wisdom than I, and although I agree with what he has to say. The first thing that would make a church strong, and we need to be strong, the first thing that would make a church strong, I don't know, let me back up here, I don't know that these come in an order of importance, because they seem to all be important in various capacities, maybe some more, some less, but every single one of them are a piece to the puzzle, I believe. But this first one definitely must maintain first place, and that is a loyalty to the truth of God's Word. Now, I know that we would agree with that. The scratching of the surface of that statement we would not have a bit of problem with, but I'm afraid that many people who would agree with that statement are some of the very ones that are tearing it down and diluting the truth of God's Word. Sometimes we argue about such inconsequential things because we say they are non-essential, and yet we place such a high priority in arguing about them. Loyalty to the truth of God's Word. You know what's happened before. Those of us that have kids, have children that are still in the home, we've probably used it, and I'm sure that a lot of us have heard it from our parents as well. Dad, why can't I? Because I said. You know, that worked for a while when they were little. It doesn't work after a while, though. But in all reality, when it comes down to the bottom line of God's Word, we need to maintain that level of childlike belief and faith in God when He said, do this or don't do that, or the implication is there in God's Word. That we just simply say, I don't understand why, Lord, but okay. Loyalty to the truth of God's Word. I suppose we could spend an entire message time, an entire service, talking about that particular point. It's important. If we are going to maintain God's presence and the power of God's presence in our church, then we have to maintain that true level of loyalty to His Word. The second thing Intelligent Christian living. You say, what in the world is that? Well, it is good to have and to believe in truth. But it's better to live it. There's an old saying that I think it came out of back in the days of the slaves. Some Negro saying, I guess is what they used to be called. I don't know if that's politically correct anymore, but good example is the tallest kind of preaching. Good example is the tallest kind of preaching. Somebody said the power of the church today, as in the time of its greatest victories of the past, the power of the church today, as in the time of its greatest victories of the past, lies in the Christ life of its members. The church that lives well will succeed well. I know of a church not very far from here. I mean, it's a ways, so you know, you don't have a clue how far, but it's a modern Sabbath day journey, if you please. That gives you a lot of pinpointing where you can pinpoint it, huh? That all around the community, or in the community that church is in, you go and knock on doors, and what you will find in that community is questions being raised like this. We welcome you to come to our Sunday services. We would love for you to come. Is so-and-so still attending there? Yeah, they are. They're a great aspect of our church. I will not be there. Oh, why? And the list builds. And it goes on and on. And yet that particular person is the right arm of the church. You know, the Sunday school teacher, the Sunday school superintendent, the song leader, and you know, they hold all the offices because there's nobody else. Maybe that's part of the problem. It wasn't a church that I pastored, so you don't know which one it is, huh? I was fairly closely associated with its people and its pastor, or pastors. So-and-so go there? Well, I won't be there. You know, just for the sake of knowledge, and I will explain, I've run into that here. Well, that's a tough one to take, isn't it? Yeah, I've run into that here. But let me clarify something on my part. I'm still trying to decide, because it looks to me like the very same judgment that is used against people, the person using it, lacks in that same measure of judgment. You know what I'm talking about? Judge not that you be not judged, for with what measure you mete out, it'll be measured to you again. You know, the same standard we judge somebody else by, I better be careful, because I'm going to be judged by that same standard. Sometimes we get our eyes twisted around and we're judging other people. We forget to look at ourselves and measure ourselves by the same standard. We kind of change the standard a little bit and make adjustments for ourselves. Oh yeah, that happens. It does. It happens in the church and outside the church. It really does. So I'm not taking what has been told to me and making passing judgment upon the people that may be reflected in that. All I'm saying is, what I'm trying to say anyway, is that we need to be careful that the Christ life is seen through us, not just while we're here at church, but all week long. The church that lives well will succeed well. Perhaps I've spent too much time on the first two. Let's move on swiftly here to number three. Making the church strong, activity in service for Christ. You know how to stay weak? Remain idle. Yep, become a couch potato and you will find out that it doesn't take long before muscle tone is gone. Muscle disappears. How to grow strong? Become active. Using the talents and the abilities that a person has, that you have, God will bless those who activate their talents and their abilities for Him. I can hear it already, pounding between your ears. I don't have any talents. I don't have any abilities. We all, every single one of us here tonight, has at least one talent, but I would dare say that we have more. Each one of us have more than one talent. And when we begin to activate those talents, when we begin to use those sometimes in our minds simple and non-existent talents, it helps us to become stronger, and in turn, we are helping the church to become stronger. Service for Christ. Activity for service, or in service for Christ. Number four, making the church strong. Faithfulness. Had a phone call Wednesday evening, before church Wednesday evening. We're not going to be able to make it to service tonight. Situation, blah, blah, yada, yada. Won't be able to come. On a Wednesday night. Ooh. Yeah, that's. You say, are you criticizing or are you lifting them up? I'm lifting them up. What's your purpose here? It's because of the faithfulness to the church that I believe worked in the heart of the person that called to let the pastor know that they wouldn't be able to come. I didn't get the details. I didn't need the details. The simple thing was, I'm not going to be there, and it's not because I'm just laying out, or like somebody told me, they skipped church to go hunting one Wednesday night this year. Not here, not at this church. Not here. You know, there's been some Wednesday nights that would have been ideal times to be in the tree stand. And I responded to that person that told me that. I said, you know, I go to Wednesday night prayer meeting not because I have to, because I'm a pastor, because I really don't have responsibility on Wednesday night. I could, you know, it's dark enough now, I could be back home and showered real quick and get to church at 7:35 and be all right. Well, where am I going with this, huh? Faithfulness to the church itself. That makes the church strong. When we bear up under the burden of it and we carry it for ourselves, we carry the responsibility and we feel the responsibility and we feel the burden and the passion for it ourselves, personally, individually. Faithfulness to the church itself as well as faithfulness to worship. I'll be honest with you tonight, I struggled and I've asked God before the service tonight. My mind has struggled tonight to be brought into captivity for this service. You know what I'm talking about, you faced it too. And I don't understand why it's been such a battle for me tonight to be brought in. Even before I got up here to preach, I asked God, Lord, I'm struggling tonight. What's the deal? Could be part of the fact that the enemy looked over my shoulder and saw the notes. He doesn't want some things said. The faithfulness to worship, to the church itself, and to worship. This is a tough one here, but it was listed, okay? It doesn't come out of my thinking, though I do agree with it. I'm not going to say that I disagree with it. Faithfulness to the church's leaders. You know, God has set people over us for a reason. And unless there's hirelings involved, then and we need to be very careful about who we classify in leadership as hirelings. You know, I've heard parents criticize preachers and criticize leaders and knock people down and in front of their children. You know, I would really hate it if one of my kids was lost someday, spiritually lost, and was in a terrible accident somewhere hundreds of miles away and was lying in an emergency room and they were close to death, and the only person that was close enough to get there before they died was somebody that I had criticized in front of them, and in the mind of my child developed that idea that they're the biggest hypocrite in the world. I'm not going to listen to that. Very well may be that that's the only person that's going to be able to get there in time to pray with them and bring them to Christ. Restore their faith before it's too late. Faithfulness to the church's leaders. Faithfulness to the church's good name. I've already covered a little bit of that, of living well. The church's good name. You know, we ought to have the best name in the community, in Shoals. Did you ever hear about Wise Bluff Community Church? Oh, yes, that is a loving church. That is a caring church. That is a church that is concerned about our soul, that loves us. Oh, is that the church that so-and-so goes to? Oh, yeah, okay. I realize, I'm not knocking. I know that there's people that aren't doing right, they'll find something to criticize. I understand that. I understand. I'm not trying to be hard and harsh here. I understand that kind of thing. And it's usually the people that have close contact and they're not doing right, and so they're guilty. And I need to get off of that. I hope you understand that I'm not trying to be hard there. Number five. In union there is strength. You know the old saying, don't you? United we stand, divided we fall. You break one stick, but if you put two or three sticks together, it becomes harder to break. One strand of string is easily snapped, but you start weaving them together or braiding them together or just twisting them together or simply putting them side by side and holding them together. Becomes more difficult, nearly impossible to break. Someone said, if unity and brotherly love prevail, the church is irresistible. Well, I wonder how true that is. If unity and brotherly love prevail, that means that unity and brotherly love is the common cord between everybody. That is what is seen above everything else. If that prevails, then the church becomes irresistible. 5 points here that certainly ought to help us and give us something to feed on and to think about for our own lives as we represent a part of the church. You say, well, there were six of them. Yes, there's six of them. But the sixth one I find is very little debate in regards to this one and this church. Although, it's easy as generations come and go, people pass off the scene, that we fail to carry it ourselves. You say, well, what is it, Brother Ziegler? What is it? Please, would you tell us? Okay, I'll tell you what it is. Systematic and liberal giving. This church gives well. And that is an aspect of success and strength that this church has had apparently for a very long time. And surely that is a very real aspect of its success and God's blessing and resting upon it. You say, well, why do you spend so little time discussing about the importance of it, this particular one, but the other five yet? Because the other five seem to be loosely connected. Some are, some aren't. And maybe that's the way it is with number six too, systematic and liberal giving. I don't know who gives what. All I know is that it is a reputation of the church that people are aware that this church does well in giving. A church that gives well will get well. Saving is losing. Giving is getting. So let me repeat these one more time before we go. Building a strong church, or making a strong church, first of all, loyalty to the truth of God's Word. Intelligent Christian living. Activity in service for Christ. Faithfulness to the church itself, to worship, to the church leaders, and to the church's good name. Number five, unity. Number six, systematic and liberal giving. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. It's food for thought for us to consider as we labor together in God's vineyard to build and maintain a strong church. Let's stand together tonight.